This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Wondering what that buzzing is? Well, honeybees are used to pollinate over 100 crops grown commercially in North America. That's according to the USDA, and one local beekeeper is doing his part to keep the pollinators thriving in Fillmore and around Montgomery County. Ron Niehaus has been beekeeping for 10 years, and the honey his bees produce is sold locally. I had the chance to visit Ron's hives this week along with Rachel Vandenberg from the Montgomery County FSA office. After some convincing, Ron agreed to an interview, and I even got to ask Rachel a few questions too.
Well, I got started probably 10 years ago. A guy had some hives he just didn't want to deal with, and for 5 years I just let them run wild and did nothing with them. And then 5 years ago I ended up with an illness and went to beekeeping school and learned what I was supposed to have been doing, and now I produce honey, and Sullivan's Drugstore sells it, and been going good ever since.
So how many hives do you have, or how many bees, or how would you like to explain how big your operation is?
My goal is to get up to 50. I'm up to 33 now. That made it through the winter. I think I went in with 37, so I lost four. So that's not bad considering the average is in the 30% is what you lose, and that's normal statewide. You just expect to lose that many, but a mild winter and a little bit of luck, ended up with more.
And you've got these hives spread around, I'd say, the listening area. We're at your house today, but you've got some in Hillsboro and other areas too.
Yeah, I have some north of Hillsboro, have some east of Hillsboro, west of Hillsboro. I don't have any south of Hillsboro, but scattered around the county, I do have several.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the bees. It was my first time being that close to a beehive, and we opened it up and looked inside. Kind of tell us what the hive or their home looks like, and a little bit of how the bee actually produces the honey, kind of the process.
Well, the bees will travel up 2-3 miles to gather nectar and stuff to produce the honey, and they bring it back to the hive, and you put it in frames. You get different size frames. Your brood is where you want your queen to lay eggs, and she can lay 1,200 a day in the peak season. In the winter, they don't. The drones or the males, they kick them out in the winter to starve and to freeze because they don't want to feed them. Then in the spring, they'll start laying more eggs, and the key is to try to get as many bees in there whenever you got your honey flow. And your honey flow is mainly is when most of your flowers are in production and that. They gather it from the different flowers, and that's why it's good for your allergies, because of all the different varieties of flowers and plants. To me, local honey is within 100 miles, because we got the same trees and plants within that radius. It's when you go getting honey from California, China, Florida, it's different plants, so you don't get your allergy stuff there. So they store it with the honey, and then they eat off the pollen and the honey through the winter to keep them there, so.
And then where they get the pollen from influences the taste of the honey and also the color, too.
Right. Your like honeysuckle, your black locust trees, alfalfa, that's a lighter one. You've got some different clovers that'll be darker. You've got, there's one plant, I remember the name of it, but it's almost a black honey. So you can tell there's a lot of different ones, and depending on the season, later in the year, it'll get a little bit darker too. So just depending on where they're getting the nectar from is the color.
Now, I know beekeeping isn't your full-time job. You're doing other things. You're a busy guy. So how often are you going out to your hives and, I guess, it's called extracting the honey? When does that happen, and maybe how often do you have to do that?
Some people extract once a year, and it's usually in the fall, September, October. We usually extract 3 weeks before Labor Day for the last time, but we'll also extract depending on how the honey flow is, you know, at the end of June and July. So we'll do it twice, where some people only do it once a year. And I usually try to check them a week or every other week, just depending on the conditions, and it just takes a quick peek to just make sure it looks like everything's going good.
Is there a special process for extracting and then bottling the honey? Because when we buy it, or the way you sell it, it's in a clear bottle. So, you know, is there anything special about that, or are you just taking it out of the hive, putting it in a bottle, and say, here you go, or tell us a little more about it?
You pull the hives out, and they're capped. The honey is capped. You want to cut the caps off, and we put it, looks like a wash machine, and it spins it, and that extracts the honey. And then we run it through a screen to get all the cappings off of it and stuff like that, and put it in a holding tank. And then we warm it up to around 90-some degrees, almost 100, and then we bottle out of that. So it's got a spout with a lever where you can control the amount of honey comes out at once.
We had lunch earlier, and we were talking a little bit about the process, and you said local honey is good for your allergies. It's different than store-bought honey because of the way that it's heated and prepared. Tell us a little more about that.
The raw honey is not heated over 100 degrees. You get over 117 degrees is what the stores are, and it kills off the pollen in it, and that's what you want for your allergy, so it's not really raw honey. They do that for longer shelf life, where if you don't, it'll crystallize quicker.
It's interesting, and I know that you have talked to people that eat honey every day, a teaspoon, and it really has helped their allergies, so something to think about. With me in the ag industry, the talk right now is our honeybee population is declining, it's suffering. I know you talk to a lot of other people that have bees. Is that true around this area? Are we seeing a decline, and are you guys trying to help keep the population up, or what are your thoughts about that?
Well, like I got 33 hives. Half of them will swarm this year, if not more. And if they're going to swarm, you can't really stop them, and you're not going to catch them all. So they all go to the wild and become wild bees. You have a lot of backyard beekeepers now that's got one or two in there, and they swarm. So I think the population is coming up. You do have a lot more disease, a lot more insects and stuff, and everybody's got a different idea on what's killing them. So it's just depending on who you're talking to and what they believe. But there is a lot of research going into that. I know Monsanto's got a full-time guy that does nothing but just tries to figure out if their sprays is killing them and if they can make one that's more resistant. So there's a lot of government subsidies going into bee research.
Have you had any of the issues with the insects and things that are killing the bees? I hear about mites and stuff like that. Have you had those in your hives?
I have had a couple hives that you go check them, and they're gone. The honey's there. There's no bees, and we don't know why. I think I've had one or two over the years, but for the most part, no. But the varroa mites, tracheal mites, the beetles, the wax moths, you just kind of keep an eye on them and just try to use some different things to try to control them to keep it down, make it for a healthier bee.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Ron. Not only was I a part of, I will call it, the tour today, we also have Rachel Vandenberg, who works at the Montgomery County FSA office. And Rachel, like me, this was your first time being this up close to a hive and seeing what it looked like on the inside. So what did you think about the experience today?
Well, at first it was a little nerve-wracking. I was very cautious on coming close to the hive, and then whenever I got up there, all I wanted to do was kind of just stand as still as possible. But after a while, when you realize they really aren't going to sting you, or hopefully they don't, I felt a little more comfortable around it, so it was easier to kind of see more.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. It's nerve-wracking being around hundreds of bees when usually you want to run away. The other thing that Ron showed us on the inside of the hives is how sticky and strong, I guess we'll call it, the glue that they make is. Tell us a little bit about that and your thoughts on what that looked like.
Well, it kind of looked, it actually looked like dried, like wood glue to me. And then just trying to pry it open, that was a little difficult because you had to keep moving slow, but yet you kind of felt like you had to really put some strength into it to get it off. And then you'd kind of worry that you were going to irritate the bees more, and then they were going to come after you, but after a while, I kind of got used to it, so it wasn't too bad.
And we also tried honey, actually still on the comb today, which I think was a first for both of us. Think it's better than just the honey we buy at the store, or explain the taste?
I actually thought it was a lot sweeter, and just the fact that it was more fresh than what you would get at the store. So I would definitely want to go with local honey compared to going and buying it at the grocery store.
I would have to agree. And Ron, I forgot to ask you this. You bottle your own honey and you do sell it at certain locations. So would you like to share any of those with us where people could find your honey?
All my honey is available at Sullivan's Drug Stores. So but it's limited. It's been a good year, so I've had extra. But there always comes a time when he runs out.
Ron Niehaus of Phil Moore and Rachel Vandenberg from the Montgomery County FSA office. And that's the buzz for today's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.